You're listening to Inside the County Board, an exclusive partnership between News Talk 1130 WISN and the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors.
Welcome back. I'm Harold Mester, joined in the studio by County Supervisor Jim Luigi Schmidt. And you represent the 19th District, Supervisor Schmidt. That's part of Wauwatosa, part of West Dallas, correct?
Well, it's
Milwaukee is in there,
right,
too.
Right, yeah. It's all of West Milwaukee, which isn't very large, but yeah. Love the village of West Milwaukee, of course. And then a good snippet of West Dallas, but I represent the great majority of Wauwatosa. That's kind of my main base, and that's where I live.
Okay, well, we want to thank you for being here. We'll talk about the state budget in this segment. And you're chairman of the County Board's Intergovernmental Relations Committee. So that's really the committee that is in charge with working with our state legislators to try to get the most favorable outcome for county residents. Is that accurate?
Well, that is accurate. Then it's quite a challenge because I think it's very well known that the rest of the state, for whatever reason, doesn't look too kindly on southeastern Wisconsin, particularly Milwaukee County. We have the reputation, since we're the largest county by far, I should say, we have the most problems, the most services, and we're kind of looked upon by the middle section of the state, northern part of the state. And it's tough to get their votes, and that's the reality of things, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Well, the state does budget in two-year segments for folks who may not be following this as closely. So Governor Walker signed a week ago the 2011-2013 budget last weekend, and there are a number of big impacts to Milwaukee County. And Supervisor Schmidt, I know you've been involved with meetings and you've had discussions with legislators. We have a delegation from Milwaukee County you've been involved with, and you also presented testimony at a public hearing at State Fair Park in West Dallas to encourage legislators to restore funding for transit and some other priorities. In fact, you rode the bus to the event
that
morning. Yeah. So how have the efforts that you've been involved with gone so far?
Well, some mixed results, but I think the fact that myself and a few of my colleagues went up to Madison a month or so ago and met many of our delegations, a lot of the senators. We had a chance to listen to Robin Voss and Alberto Darling, who are the co-chairs of finance, and our group did have a personal audience with a number of legislators, and particularly Alberto Darling, from Milwaukee County. And those positions, the joint finance really is the one who really works on the budget. They have to pass it. There's 16 members of joint finance. And, things have dramatically changed, of course, in Madison. The election of Governor Walker, all the Republican movement now, the Tea Party, moving in. We have 25 new assemblymen. You have that 19-14 shift. The Republicans are in the majority in the Senate. And with Governor Walker, and that's really showed up on this budget. There are a lot of powers that the governor's been given, and a lot of changes in this budget. And there have been a lot of significant impacts on Milwaukee County. I'm sure we'll talk about that.
And we're going to focus in on a few of the biggest impacts on the county. And to kind of summarize here, we're going to be talking about family care, mass transit, child support enforcement, and also the reforms on tax levy changes at the county level. So I guess let's start with family care. And as of Friday, there is now an immediate enrollment cap in place for family care. So elderly people in Milwaukee County will be placed on a waiting list for the first time in more than a decade. And we've been told the initial waiting list is around 400 to 500 people right now. And there's already 2,000 people with disabilities already on the waiting list. So it definitely creates some difficulties there. What's your take on this?
Well, I mean, the whole medical assistance area is really in major question. I mean, the major one is family care, the state program. And by the way, when we went up to Madison to talk about, there was some leftover money, $7 million, that we have been paying towards the GAMP program, which has now been overturned by family care.
Right.
And we were putting that money in, and that was in the budget that Milwaukee County had to put that in. Well, we said, well, that's not really fair because we're putting in money no one else has to. And we have to fight for our rights in Milwaukee County. I'm sure our constituents want us to do that. And I would say Alberto Darling championed on that for us and our other legislators. And they realized that it was an injustice. We got that taken away. So sometimes we do some important things and can get some things done if you play, common sense and fiscal responsibility, as this governor and this legislature is certainly talking about. More specifically on just family care, I mean, you hit the highlights there. We haven't had waiting list. It's a terrifically difficult decision if you cap it because, I mean, no new people can come on. There have been waiting lists. We've been finally getting down and knocking those waiting lists down. And what happens is if you freeze family care enrollment, it's more than likely, well, it's going to very likely increase medical assistance expenditures for nursing homes. If people can't get their care at their places, can't get in family care, then unfortunately have to go to nursing homes. We've all maybe to visit nursing homes. That's the last place we like to see our loved ones, I think, be in. They're necessary in a lot of cases. But nursing homes cost us a lot more, too.
Sure.
You know, when you look at the fiscal realities here, the average cost of a nursing home is about $4,300 a month. People who have elderly people know about these significant costs. If you get skilled care, you're talking about $10,000-$11,000 a month.
Yeah.
You get in. In comparison, and here's the point, Harold, that we're talking about, the Milwaukee County Department of Family Care receives a capitation payment of about $2,800 a month to work of keeping people out of institutions. So I don't know if you have to look at unintended consequences. I hope there was a legislator looking at it that way, because the unintended consequences here by capping family care is really forcing more people in nursing homes, which is much more expensive. You know, and our whole philosophy has been the medical field, the mental health field, is try to keep people out of institutions, try to keep people out of hospitals, get them in, you know, the family care situations, the supportive programs we have outside of the mental health institution itself, outside of hospitals, and get them in, you know, regular neighborhoods and give them the care they need. And it's much less expensive and much better for the psyches, by the way, too, if at all possible.
You were talking about the fiscal realities of this budget, and there are some other areas that will have a major impact on Milwaukee County. You serve on the county's Finance and Audit Committee, and there are a number of areas where there are funding cuts from the state, and certainly one of the most important areas is shared revenue. And if you want to take a moment to describe shared revenue, how it works, and how the budget changes that.
Well, help me make sure I stay brief. But
okay.
I briefly, a shared revenue for those who might not be familiar with this concept. And it's kind of a, I don't know, I want to call it a goofy concept, but the easy summary is all the municipalities and counties pay their money to the state of Wisconsin. We send it to Madison. And then Madison decides how they're going to allocate the monies we send them. And it's called shared revenue. So they share the revenue we give to them.
Now, who's we?
Well,
the taxpayers?
Yes. I mean, the different municipalities and counties. The state then makes a decision.
So individual taxpayers are sending it, and then it gets sent back to municipalities and counties?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
I mean, all the taxes we pay go to Madison.
Yeah.
Okay. So the property taxes, everything goes to Madison. And then they decide, they mandate many, many programs for municipalities, and particularly our counties. Just to give you a quick point here, we have about $1 billion budget in Milwaukee County, but you know how much we really control? Well, it looked about $240 million. In other words, the rest of that is mandated services. So these are things we have to do. Counties have to take care of their poor. They have to take care of their mentally ill.
Right.
Counties have to incarcerate those who break the law. We have to make sure we get attorneys for people who can't afford it. Just the costs and human services and public safety are very significant. And we're losing those areas in the state budget, by the way.
Now, we're going to see, I believe it's just over an $8 million cut in the shared revenue from the state.
Well, that's very significant because that's the monies, again, we need to do the services that the state mandates we do. And any cuts in those then have to either you got to cut services, you got to cut people, or you got to raise the property tax. Unfortunately, the property tax is so dominant in Wisconsin, as everybody pretty well knows, and it's the most visible, and that's the one that gets the most play. And we're very reliant on the property tax, unlike other states. A major example, maybe we'll say something about transit shortly, but transit's on the property tax. That is very unusual. The great, great, I mean, I've hardly seen any other municipalities or counties that use the property tax to fund transit. It's one of our problems.
Right.
So if we don't get that shared revenue, and most everything was cut pretty generally, to make a summary, everything was cut 10%. Okay.
Yeah.
But in this case, that 8.3, that's 21%
right.
Cut for us.
Yeah.
And that's very significant. That really hurts us. And you can say, well, just spend less, do less. Well, you can't always do less. You know, I know the analogy always comes that government should be more like a business. But you know what? I'm sorry. We can't always be like a business. A business wouldn't do some things we do because we don't make money. But it's our responsibility to do these things. And when people have stuff in their basement, when people have, you know, elderly parents, okay, and or have people who have mental problems, they want us to do something. And that's all on a property tax. And, well, and so, you know, yeah. and we don't want to raise it, but we want to take care of people too.
Okay, now you have all of these cuts. You have the major cut in shared revenue. You have cuts in transit and other things we're going to be talking about. But you're restricted in raising the property tax levy hardly at all. I mean, it's going to be less than 1% at the most.
Well, that's right. How it works is that you can't raise the, and this is the budget that's will be passed. Okay, has passed.
Right.
All right? And it's to the extent of new construction that you have. That's the upper limit. Well, we've had 1% new construction in the last biennium. Okay. We've had a difficult economic time. I don't have to tell that to anybody who's listening, especially in the banking industry and loans, new construction. Things are starting to come back slowly. We're happy to see, but it takes time, as we all realize. So the point being that if that's the highest you can go, you're not going to be able to raise property taxes probably over 1%.
And that's a major change from previous years when, you know, some of the supervisors on the board wanted to go up 2 or 3% or whatever that may be. So now you can't do that. You're going to be forced to do service cuts. And there are tools from the governor, the tools that he has given municipalities through pension contributions, higher health insurance premiums, those sort of things that the county's already been doing. Because Scott Walker was in the county, we were in a way ahead of the curve on that. So we can't, you know, we've already used up a lot of those tools that some of the other municipalities haven't used yet. So it's more difficult for us to absorb these cuts.
Well, you really explained that very well. That's exactly the point, yes. I can go through the list very quickly if we have time or want me to, but our total cuts in this budget, the state aid reductions that we were talking about, and we've talked about some examples. Mass Transit was 7, Chevron was 8.3. We got some other ones. It adds up to $26 million.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Now, the tools, if that's one word's been used a lot, the tool or your toolbox, and it has some validity, is that you can do some things. Then you're allowed now if public unions are basically banned from negotiating anything. All you can do is wages, and wages are very limited, as you see with the property tax, the 1%. So that takes away your toolbox to get some more money a little bit. But you say, well, then how you gain some money is by charging people more for their pensions, more for the health insurance, et cetera. Everybody says, well, you know, we should do that. Yeah, we probably should. And we have. But the point is, yes, we have in the county. So we still will have a deficit of 18 million. You know, the governor has said, you have the tools. You can make up for the reductions they give you. Well, it's not true. It's statistically not true because, you know, I have to work in this reality, and I will work in it, and we are going to have to.
Well, and you're on the finance committee, so what are your options whenever you're restricted with what you're able to do with property taxes? You're restricted on how you can use the tools.
Well, you can't do much in the property tax, and who really wants to? Okay, no one wants to raise their property tax.
Right.
I mean, you know, if you want to stay in office or you want to, you know, be realistic, and the movement certainly is to that, so you're limited. And you know what? The county board has not done over a cost of living in tax increase. We went 1 year, 3.1 last year. I think it was 2.6. Anyway, we've been underneath that 2% figure. We've been averaging about in the last 10 years. So we haven't been to 4, 5, 6% that a lot of people think we've been doing. And what have we done? Well, unfortunately, is... in one sense, unfortunately, it's because we've lost a lot of institutional knowledge. We have very heavy retirements. The situation being that either you cut services dramatically or you cut people. People are your biggest expense. And we have 1,000 less full-time employees than we had a decade ago. That's pretty significant, down from 6,000 now to, you know, right around 5,000. And we have many more seasonals, you know, which helps with the budget. But, you know, at some point, you know, I get calls, we all get calls, the grass is high, you know, why can't we do more in this area? And it just says we do have less people to do everything we're expected to do. And we're limited in what we can do. Now, we can cut some services. I don't know how much more we can cut people, very honestly, because we're pretty much down to the bone. I mean that very sincerely. You know, everybody talks about, well, government's a big job magnet and, you know, all these people. Well, we're significantly down from where we were, and I don't know how much farther we can go down if we're expected to continue to do all the services. And the services, by the way, all these were mandated to do.
All right. Let's talk about some of the other areas of the budget here. I think and this is my fault, I think I got us off on a little tangent there, didn't I?
Well, you know, the point is we've used 70% of the tools, you know, to get back to the point that you did make. And it's hard to, not get too emotional, because, you know, this is stuff we're going to have to work with. And, you know, these sound like, oh, you're just throwing out figures. Well, these are real figures. These are real deficits. This is made up. So we've used 70% of the tools that the governor and legislature has given us. So we still have an $18 million hole. So, you know, we're going to have to cut more jobs. We're going to have to ask more. But I don't know if that does everything either. We're going to have to cut some services. Maybe I can go to transit, Harold.
Yeah,
will that be all right?
It's a 10% cut to transit funding.
Well, that's one of the things. I specifically, when I went to State Fair, we had a delegation of service supervisors. I talked about mass transit. I don't ride the bus very much at all. Not hardly anymore. I like my car, I guess, too. I'm one of the typical Americans. Okay, but there are 44 million rides that we do give the bus. There are people who rely on the bus to go to work. Maybe not most of my constituents, but I still feel an obligation, and all of us should. We need a mass transit system. The governor was going to take the mass transit out of the segregated transportation fund. That's one of the major points I made in my testimony to Joint Finance. By the way, Joint Finance did put the money in the segregated fund. The governor wanted to put it in the general fund,
right,
transit,
right,
which means it's in competition with all these other things we've talked about, you know, with the medical assistance. I want to get it back to medical assistance in a minute. But the mental health, all the safety issues, the courts. So it's in competition. So we'd have been left farther and farther behind. I don't know what the cuts would have been. It'd probably been the death knell of the transit system. Joint Finance said their credit recognized that. So they put the money back in the segregated fund, which is very important, but they still made a 10% cut. Now, maybe it doesn't sound like a lot. That's $7 million.
Right.
A 10% cut is $7 million. So, and how do you make that up? Well, you got to raise fares or cut routes. There's not much in between to do, and we've been doing that for the last 6-7 years. The county board has always put more money in than the county executive put in the budget. And,
but each year it whittles away a little bit.
Well, sure it does. And sometimes you have to, and you know, people have to be a little more, you know, can be a little more inconvenient. Okay, but these are lifeblood kind of things too. I mean, people have to get to their jobs. Even the MMAC. And some business groups came in and talked about the need of having mass transit and doing something here. And just, I don't know what's going to happen this budget. You know, if you want to cut, you could cut, 20% of your routes, which is going to cost jobs. I think it really will, unfortunately. And I don't know how much more you can raise the fare. You say, well, people should pay more for the fares. Now, these are people who can't afford to have cards, can't pay the insurance. So they rely on the transit system.
Well, we're running out of time here, but I did want to mention that there were extra funds approved by the legislature for paratransit.
That's a very good thing.
That's good news.
Yes,
and
it
then,
is.
I did want to squeeze in child support here. The Child Support Enforcement Department of Milwaukee County would have a deficit of $3.6 million next year due to this budget, and that would mean $18 million in child support for families will not be recovered. That's a problem.
Well, and see, we get money. These are one of the programs. Every $4 we spend, we get $5. And that really makes it difficult. We're going to have less, I hate to use the term, deadbeat dads. We're going to lose 38 positions with this cut. That means we're going to have less people trying to establish paternity, and then less people, get the service. And the kids are kind of the losers here. The other quick thing I wanted to mention is we had, man transit was 7, children was 8.3, child support is 3.6, stuff we're just talking about. The last thing I want to mention is youth AIDS. That got hit by 3.6, too.
Yeah.
Another 10% plus cut. And we didn't have a chance to talk about, so many other things we could talk about, but we've done a lot, and I appreciate the time, Harold. And Milwaukee County have to work on this, but many programs get cut that keep kids out of jail. And I don't know if you've seen the headlines in the last couple of weeks, but we got less people going to jail, particularly the juvenile justice system. And that's because of these other youth programs, to keep kids out of jail, give them something else to do.
Oh, and it's so expensive. What is it, about $100,000 a year for us to send a juvenile to the state correctional facilities?
And that price is going up too. The average cost per day is about $284 per juvenile. But now we've cut that, and we cut out Ethan Allen and the Toshida, but that's both in southeastern Wisconsin. Now they have to go up to Lincoln Hills and La Crosse. That's 4.5-hour drive from Milwaukee, Racine County. But we cut some of those costs. We've hoped they would have cut Lincoln Hills rather than, right in our backyard where most of our young people go. But we're doing a good job keeping young people, and you want to keep young people out of the penal system, because then, it's not a pretty sight going on for themselves and their families.
Well, we're out of time, but Supervisor, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Of course, we'll keep the audience posted here as things develop whenever this budget is implemented. Supervisor Jim Luigi Schmidt. When we return, Supervisor Broderick joins us along with Parks Director Sue Black for some summer fun. Inside the County Board, we'll be right back on News Talk 1130 WISN.